Welcome back to Tyler Rocky and Shane Orling. We're back on ESPN Chicago.
Shane Orling, Tyler Rocky, in for Greeny this morning as we await Ben Johnson to set foot to the podium at Halas Hall in an introductory press conference we are carrying right here on ESPN Chicago. And we were just talking about the Lion fan not understanding the attrition. I have people telling me, I wouldn't take the money to work for somebody evil. You would. I'm sorry, you would. It's the LIV golf conversation all over again.
Yeah.
I couldn't take the blood money and play for LIV. Yes, you could.
You've just never had a $50 million contract slid your way before.
Oh, somebody's offering to pay me $70 million over 5 years. If I get that contract slid across the table to me, I don't really care who's on the other side. I'm signing the deal. Mm-hmm. If it's a division rival, I'm signing the deal. All right, here we go to Halas Hall. Ryan Poles addressing the media.
2 weeks. I want to thank our search committee for their time and their energy in what was an exhaustive search. We said we were going to cast a wide net, and that's exactly what we did. I want to thank Kevin and George for their support and their leadership. Our entire organization is fired up about Ben Johnson. Throughout the entire process, we came away really impressed with his passion, his leadership, his football IQ, and his vision for winning football. The great thing is when you make calls to his teammates in North Carolina, staff at Boston College, Miami, and Detroit, you realize he's an even better person, father, and husband. Without further ado, I want to introduce Ben Johnson, head coach of the Chicago Bears.
Good morning. It is an honor to stand before everyone today as the head coach of the Chicago Bears. I would be remiss not to acknowledge a number of people that have helped me along the way here, starting with where I just came from. Sheila Ford Hamp and her family have been incredible for the last 6 years of my life, making Detroit and the Lions organization a great place for me and my family and raising our kids. Dan Campbell is more than just a colleague to me. He is a friend. He is a mentor. He is a man that trusted me when he didn't need to, and I will forever be in his debt and respect the heck out of him. He's an amazing person. One time someone told me he is a unicorn, and they could not be more true words than that. I appreciate Rod Wood, Mike Disner, the rest of the executives there in Detroit. They were a pleasure to work with, and it was one of the most memorable times being able to turn that franchise around. The offensive staff in Detroit, there might have been some tough nights, there might have been some tough game days, but I do appreciate your support, your understanding, and really your camaraderie at the end of the day. The players, man, this is one of the hardest things to do is to leave a group of men that you love. And I will forever be impacted by St. Brown, Goff, Ragnow. I can keep going on and on and on. One of the reasons you get into coaching is to make the people around you better. But the truth is that those group of guys, they made me a better coach and a better person. They inspired me every single day, and I love driving into work to work with those men every single day. One of the biggest pieces of the puzzle for me is my family, my wife. You've been the rock. I know it has not been easy. One of the most selfish things I've ever done is to ask you to come on this adventure. And you did it full steam ahead, no ifs, ands, or buts. And you've become a fantastic mother and such an incredible partner. This is not my journey. This is our journey. Thank you so much along the way. Rick Smith and Priority Sports, thank you for making this transition seamless for me. Things happened fast once the season ended, and you were able to provide all the necessary information to make an informed decision. Thank you for that. With that being said, I want to thank the search committee here in Chicago. It was clear to me from the beginning that the priorities were straight. There's only one way for us to have success here, and that's the right people in place. George, thank you for trusting the people that you've hired. It is perfectly clear that you're willing to provide all the resources necessary for us to build a sustained winner here in Chicago. Kevin, I appreciate your support as well. You're going to play an integral part of everything that we have going on. And Ryan, thank you so much for trusting and believing in me. What you and your staff have already built here is so enticing. This roster is absolutely loaded with talent already, and I look forward to building it with you. You and I, as we've already talked about, we're going to be in lockstep every step of the way. I cannot wait to work with you. I told this search committee that I wanted this job. And there's several reasons why I wanted this job. The first is this place. For the last 10 plus years, my family and I have been coming up for a Cubs series every summer. And it doesn't take long to realize that this place is special. These people are special. This is exactly where I wanted to raise my family, my kids. I know we're going to have so much fun living up here in Chicago. All right. Number two is this roster that Ryan's already built. It is stocked. It's loaded. Everyone wants to talk about the quarterback. And Caleb, I'm excited to work with you. But it's going to take more than just you. And there are a lot of pieces already in place. And I can't wait to get to work with the rest of you guys. And then finally, I wanted to stay in this division. I know this is the toughest division in football right now. There's three teams that made the playoffs this year. I've got tremendous amount of respect for the coaches and the players in this league. Haven't competed against them for the last 6 years. Dan Campbell, Kevin O'Connell, you're talking about two guys that are up for Coach of the Year awards as the season ends here. And to be quite frank with you, I kind of enjoyed beating Matt LaFleur twice a year. With that being said, I do have a message here for the players. Get comfortable being uncomfortable. The bar has been set higher than it's ever been set before. The only way for this team and for you as individual players to reach your potential is to be pushed and to be challenged. And that's exactly what I and my staff plan on doing. We are going to push, we're going to challenge. And along with those high standards, there's also going to be a high level of support as well. Everybody in this building is going to be all about helping you guys out. How do you become the best versions of yourselves? That's what it's going to be about from start to finish. When you walk in, it'll be crystal clear, the communication, the structure, and the consistency, and that will never waver. Our mission starting this spring is to win and to win now. I get goosebumps right now just thinking about being the head coach of the Chicago Bears. I know exactly what this role and this responsibility requires, and I cannot wait to get to work. Thank you.
All right, if you have questions, you can raise your hand. We'll get to you with microphones. Please state your name and outlet before you ask the questions. Dan.
Ben, Dan Weider from the Chicago Tribune. Welcome to Chicago. Saturday afternoon, you walked into Ford Field to coach a playoff game, and by Monday afternoon, you were agreeing to a deal here to be the coach of the Chicago Bears. Can you take us through the whirlwind of that stretch for you, and then also why it accelerated the way it did?
Yeah. A tremendous wave of emotions follows up when your season gets ended like it did for us. I'm still reeling through some of those feelings myself right now. It's a hard thing to do when you're around a group of guys that's as committed as we were to not only winning a division title, but getting the number one seed in the playoffs, but following through by winning a Super Bowl and coming up short the way that we did. I'm still reeling through that, what I could have done differently. Of course, as that game ended and exit meetings happened, information was brought to me about potential situations, and it did not take long for me to realize where I wanted to continue my career.
With that, Ben, when you were exploring the Bears as a possible place to jump to for yourselves, what questions did you want answered from this organization to assure that it was the right fit for you?
Yeah, I think to me, I talked about alignment last year when I came back to Detroit, and that was really important to me, was to see that the structure set up was conducive to winning. All those questions were answered throughout the interview process. The guys in front of me right here, George, Kevin, Ryan, I believe in them, and I really believe that we will be able to turn this place around.
Hey, Ben, Adam Hoge, CHGO. As you said, Dan Campbell is a unicorn, but I'm curious what you were able to learn from him as you observed him that you feel like you're going to be able to bring to your game as a head coach here in Chicago.
Yeah, Dan Campbell is truly authentic from the moment he steps into a building to when he leaves. He's entirely him, and I know everyone talks about being yourself, but he certainly embodied that over the last four seasons I was with him. So I will forever take that with me, along with his ability to empower the people around him. I've seen him totally delegate responsibilities, have complete trust in the people that he hires, and allow them to do their jobs. That's something that I plan on taking with me, and will do the same.
Ben, to your left. Jason Leisure with the Chicago Sun-Times. Two-part question for you about the quarterback, about Caleb. I read interviews that you did where you talked about being very selective about jobs, looking for a place that would set you up to succeed. And my question is, how much of a factor was your belief in Caleb, your assessment of him, and what's your starting point for how you're going to coach him to play the position?
Listen, it's clear that modern football in the NFL is quarterback driven. That is no secret. You can look at analytics. Right now, quarterback success is a higher predictor of winning and losing than turnover ratio, which it's been for 20-plus years. Okay, that's changed. So there's no doubt Caleb played a large component into my decision. He is a phenomenal talent that had, as many quarterbacks do, an up-and-down rookie year. Where I see my role is as a supporter of him. This offense will be calibrated with him in mind. We're going to build this thing. This is not simply a dropping of a previous playbook down on the table and starting there. Nope. We're ripping this thing down to the studs, and we're going to build it up with him first and foremost, and then with the pieces around him next. I really look forward to challenging him and pushing him, as I said before, to continue to grow and develop.
Hey, Ben, Courtney Cronin, ESPN. On that note, you looked at Caleb and said it's going to take more than you, and you probably better than anybody else know about the importance of the offensive line, but how long it took Detroit to build that unit. Is that something you can realistically replicate here with your goals in mind?
Yeah, I think offensive line is certainly an area that we need to get better play from going forward, something that Ryan and I have already talked about. We will develop a plan of attack for how to get that done, but I'm looking forward to getting an excellent offensive line coach into the building to help develop the young talent that we already have on the roster. And we will certainly talk about acquiring talent to bolster that unit as well. But I was certainly blessed the last few years with the men that I worked with, and that was something I would love to replicate here as well.
Hey, Ben. Patrick Finley with the Chicago Sun-Times. You talked about alignment. Specifically, how are you aligned with Ryan? And how do you learn that when you're having a Zoom conversation and you don't know the man too intimately because of this process going as fast as it did?
Yeah, so here's what I'd say is Ryan did his homework. People on my end did our homework as well. So Ryan had left Boston College right when I was getting there. There's some shared history there. There's a lot of connections that may or may not have already been put together that people understand. I truly believe in the character and integrity of this man. In terms of true alignment, you're going to have to talk to the powers that be here. They can fill you in on that structure. But we are going to be locked at the hip and connected every step of the way with all the decisions that are made.
Ben, Matt Zahn from CBS Chicago right here.
Gotcha.
You've talked about before spending part of your offseason kind of taking a look at the big picture, what it takes to be a head coach. You know, there have been many great coordinators that haven't turned into great head coaches. What did you learn about what it takes to make that transition and what it takes to be a good head coach?
Yeah, the role and responsibilities are completely different. And I'm well aware of that. And I know that a lot of coordinators have failed in this role. Here's what I tell you is every step of my journey, whether it's quality control, whether it was position coach, whether it was coordinator, I have found a way to change myself to be the best in that particular job. And so now that the job requirements are changing and I'm no longer just coaching an offensive player or an offensive unit, this is the entire team. And the good news is this, I am a football coach. So I will be able to change and adjust accordingly. The most important thing that we do here is we establish the culture that we want in this building in the springtime. Accountability and integrity, they're going to be the cornerstones of this. Team first mentality is going to be critical for us. I already talked about the communication, the structure, the consistency. That's going to be felt by our players from day one all the way through the end of the season, okay? And at the end of the day, we are going to lean on a professional work ethic. We're going to learn how to be pros here in this building. We'll be deliberate and intentional with what we do, and then we'll get out of the building and off our feet.
Hey, Ben. Mark Rohde with The Score here in Chicago. Welcome to the city. You mentioned that this roster is loaded with talent. So then when you look back at the Bears season, you know, enduring a 10-game losing streak, does that surprise you that a team with this type of talent endured that? And how close do they not need to make that many changes going into this year?
Yeah, listen, we'll evaluate whole roster. I have not watched all the tape, but I have a good feel from game planning against this defense and certainly seeing the crossover tape with the offense that I feel really confident about the current talent level already in the building. Going into this season, I felt like this place was a sleeping giant. To be honest with you, I personally was more concerned about the Chicago Bears than I was anybody else in this division. Now, there's a number of reasons why that did not unfold, all right, which that's why I'm here. I'll get to the bottom of that, and we'll see if we can't get that corrected and cleaned up. But I was very encouraged with what was already on the roster right here, and like I said before, this division, as hard as it is, really excited about competing here.
Was it just the changes that they made going into the offseason that scared you the most about the Bears? Was it Caleb Williams? Like, what was it about the Bears that they were the...
Well, we struggled with that defense here for both games that we played them in 2023. Okay, so that was a huge deal, was knowing that as much as I struggled staying up at night trying to attack this defense, I knew what that was capable of. And then seeing all the weapons that they have on offense here was really, really encouraging.
Coach Deion Miller, ABC 7 Chicago, welcome. We're glad that you're here. You had this opportunity a year ago to be a head coach. You chose not to. Why are you more prepared now for this job than you were a year ago?
Yeah, a year ago, honestly, it was a similar situation in terms of being ejected from the playoffs prematurely, how we saw it. And as my emotions got the better of me at that point, I decided quite early on that I wanted to come back and take another shot at that in Detroit. This year, this offseason, summer, I was able to do a lot more thinking and just throughout my head, my process, what it would look like as the head coach. And I just felt a lot more comfortable in terms of making that jump, regardless of how the season ended in Detroit.
Ben, here to the right.
Yep.
Pat, the designer, ESPN 1000. When your predecessors came in a very similar situation that you have, quarterback already in place, having to come in kind of midway through, this rebuild being done, what is it that you can bring to the table that will make this situation end in a different manner than what we've seen in previous situations?
Listen, I can't speak to the previous coaches that were here. All I can tell you is this. Every step along the way, I already alluded to it, I found a way to excel in each job. So I'm deeply committed to finding a way to make this work. My core values really rest on work ethic, selflessness, and poise. And I expect that to be embodied within this team.
Ben, over here again, Courtney Cronin, ESPN. You interviewed for a couple other jobs this cycle. What specifically about Chicago tipped the scales in the Bears' favor and you landing here?
The people, point blank. The interview process was excellent for me, answered all the questions I was looking forward to, and not to mention the family atmosphere that they clearly outlined was a huge selling point as well.
Does having a quarterback, because there are some other teams that don't necessarily have their franchise guy, how heavy did that weigh specific to this opportunity for you?
Having a quarterback helps.
Ben, over here.
Yeah.
John Greenberg from The Athletic. You've been in a lot of different offenses. You've worked for different kind of coaches. You seem to have a lot of different influences in what you believe in. Like, how would you describe what your offense is going to be about? You know, Caleb's different than Jared Goff. What would you describe to Bears fans what to expect from this offense?
Philosophically, what I believe in is similar to a blast from the past named John Shoup, and that is to make same things look different and different things look the same. All right? We want the defense on their heels. We're always going to be attacking on offense. We believe in multiplicity, and so that's both formationally and conceptually. We're going to make things very challenging on the defense each and every week. We want the ability to morph, whether it's 50 runs in a game or 50 passes in a game, it does not matter. Balance to me is throughout the entire season, not necessarily within the game. And with that being said, those are broad strokes of what this will look like. It's not going to look like it did in Detroit. We have a completely different personnel group than what we did in Detroit. So this entire offense is going to be predicated on the guys that we have available, and that's going to take the springtime as well as training camp to hone in to what that's going to look like.
Ben, over here. Josh Bell, Caldwell Clarke Sports. With all that you have on your plate offensively, how involved do you plan to be defensively, and do you foresee any sort of scheme change going forward?
Yeah, I think when you're the head coach, you have to be involved defensively. You have to be involved in special teams. That comes with the territory. And so when you talk about last year, why I went back to Detroit, part of the reason was I had not fully comprehended how to make that all work. I'm at a much better space right now in terms of time management, how I can be involved with all three phases. The whole key to this is being able to tie them together, play complementary football. And so I will be heavily involved both defensively and special teams as much as offense. It's going to be critical that I hire people that have some experience here in this league and I can lean on and I can trust. Defensively, there are a number of guys I want to talk to, and really it'll be predicated on who we decide to go with, what that defense is going to look like.
Hey, Ben. Kevin Fishbane from The Athletic. Ryan talked to us about how the quarterback development plan was going to be a big part of interviews and talking to coaches about what the plan is. How would you kind of characterize what like your vision would be for helping get a quarterback to where he needs to be?
I think it's time on task. It's trust. I've already talked to Caleb. We're going to have to spend a lot of time together. The play caller and the quarterback have to be integrated. The quarterback needs to be able to see the game through the play caller's eyes. In my opinion, that's the only way it works. And so we're going to spend a lot of time together this springtime. Certainly during training camp, we'll be able to see how much headway we can make. But there's already things I've talked to him about that I've noticed in his game that I want to address and I want to go ahead and take a look at early and often here.
Ben, as you acknowledge the difference between a coordinator role and the head coaching duties, what gives you the greatest confidence in your leadership skills for this role?
Yeah, that's a great question. And here's what I would tell you is what gives me confidence is the players that I was just with and the respect level that they had for me, along with the people that I trusted in that building who would come up to me time and time again and assure me I'm ready. Chris Spielman, Mark Brunell, the people that were with me, saw me in front of the room, saw me in the meeting room. They believe in me. I believe in myself. I'm ready for this next challenge.
You used the word accountability a little bit ago. That was a word that the players used a lot this past season in this building. What does that look like to you? How do you define accountability under your watch?
Yeah, accountability is really we're going to do what we say we're going to do, and we're going to be who we say we're going to be. And if we fall short of that standard, then there has to be consequences to that. That can look a number of different ways, but we are going to get to the point when we are winning here where our veteran players are going to take over the accountability portion of it. Until we get there, though, it's going to be on us as the coaching staff to outline what it should look like, what a Chicago Bear is going to look like, what that professional work ethic is going to look like.
Ben, Andy Seligman, AP. Do you plan to call plays on offense?
Yes, I do.
Okay. Along those lines, what characteristics then are you going to be looking for in an offensive coordinator?
It's going to be critical for me to find somebody that can organize and structure and set the table, particularly early in the week. I've been around a number of guys that have called plays in the past, and I've seen the potential pitfalls that could arise as you're coaching the entire football team and you can't get to watching as much tape early in the week as you possibly could. So it's going to the offensive coordinator position is going to have to be somebody that not only I trust, but will be extremely detail-oriented, organized, and structured to set the table and also willing to work late nights.
Ben, Pat at the Chicago Sun-Times again. When we talked to Ryan Poles a couple weeks ago, he talked about, hey, if I'm going to bring in a guy who hasn't been a head coach before, there's a value in him bringing in experience or people who have head coaching experience as assistant coaches. Do you have a plan for that? And how do you know, kind of big picture, how do you kind of know what you don't know, you know, when you move up a chair?
Yeah, there's no question that experience, whether it's coordinators or elsewhere within the coaching staff, will be important to me. And that's why I look forward here after we get through this initial madness, if you will, we can get going on the coaching staff. That's going to be a critical part of our success. I really believe that we're going to be able to find some great candidates out there that want to come to Chicago for a number of reasons, but they will be able to help guide and show me the way. The good news is this, is I'm not coming necessarily from a program that has solely won for the last 10 years. What I've seen in my time in the NFL, 7 years in Miami, 6 years in Detroit, is as much not good as I've seen good. And so there are a number of things that I've experienced and I've seen that should help throw the red flag up and help me avoid those potential pitfalls.
Ben, over to your right. Nicholas Moriano, the Bigs. One of the things expressed last year by the players that they wanted someone that can enforce discipline in their head coach. How have you enforced discipline in the past, and how can you implement that here?
Yeah, it looks a number of different ways. I think The most important thing, and I've already alluded to it a couple times now, is clear communication and structure and expectation. And that's really what we're going to outline. We will set the standard in terms of what it looks like, what it should look like, what it shouldn't look like. Anytime it's not hitting that standard and that mark, it'll be us as the on us as the coaching staff to call guys out, and repeat offenders will have to continue to be made an example of.
Ben, to your left.
Yeah.
The stumble bum play that you hit the Bears with.
Did you like that one?
It was clever.
That was a Matt LaFleur special.
was that the start of your job interview here, or were you just showing off?
I don't know about that.
Did you think about that at all, coaching that game here, when the job was open at the time, that this was a chance for you to make a big impression?
I think every day in the NFL is a chance to make an impression. We are very blessed to have these jobs as coaches and as players. It's not something that I take lightly. And I think we have an obligation to each other and to the game to max ourselves out each and every day.
Josh, did that. Yep. Hey, Ben, over to your right. Josh Friedman with WGN-TV. Congrats, and you said your mission statement is to win and win now. Do you believe this is a multi-year process, though, to get back to a playoff-caliber team, or can that happen in 2025?
There's no question it can happen in 2025. It depends on how hard we're willing to work and how much we're willing to sacrifice, though.
Hey, Ben, Adam Hogue again from CHGO. It was a little surprising that you took this job so fast without coming here first. Why did you feel so confident that you didn't need to see the building or see anybody face-to-face in person? And then once you got here, other than the people, because you've already spoken on that, what stood out to you the most?
Yeah, the information was given to me from any interested party, what it would look like. It was very detailed. It was thorough. It did not take me long, particularly with that first interview in the back of my head. I've already been in this city. I know what this city's about. It just simply did not take me a long time to decide that this is where I wanted to be, I wanted my family to be, and these were the people I wanted to be around. Walking in this building yesterday gave me goosebumps. There, I don't think many people understand how set up for success this place already is. This facility is outstanding. It is an A-plus facility, and I look forward to meeting all the people within this facility and getting to work.
Thank you, guys. We'll have a
thank you.
All right, that's Ben Johnson meeting the media, the introductory press conference, your new head coach of the Chicago Bears. Our reaction next, as well as yours. I'll put the number out. 312-332-3776. Your reaction, Ben Johnson's introductory press conference, next. Shane Orling, Tyler Rocky, in for Green.
Welcome back to Tyler Rocky and Shane Orling. We're back on ESPN Chicago.
Tyler Rocky in for Greeny. You just heard Ben Johnson's introductory press conference. He will join Carmen and Yurko at 12:30. Ryan Poles also set to join Carmen and Yurko at 1:15. And Kevin Warren expected to join Waddle and Sylvie later this afternoon as they are live from Hallis Hall. And Tyler and I react to the Ben Johnson introductory press conference. Now, what I am not going to do, I refuse to do it. I am not going to sit here and say I need a cigarette and a wet nap routine. I'm not doing it. You don't win the presser. That said, I have thoughts on certain things he said, and I'm going to start with the first thing he said that it got close to me needing a boner pill was Chris Morgan, hop on in this cannon and GTFO. I will find an offensive line coach. Thank God. If there's one thing I wanted to hear, it was Chris Morgan, get out. And he point blank said it. Hop in the cannon, enjoy your ride to the surface of the sun. You're gone. Thank God.
Yeah, when he talked about an offensive line coach and he really opened that door, You and I both kind of looked at each other and like, yep, that'll be all for him. Goodbye. His catnip line of the presser was the Matt LaFleur thing.
Yeah.
I enjoyed beating Matt LaFleur twice a year.
That was the...
That's either going to come back to bite him in the ass after they lose to the Packers the first time they play him this year, or it's going to be the thing that turns the tide.
That will either be fodder for Packers social media videos, or it'll be the moment you knew you had the head coach that you wanted, mm-hmm. the head coach that you deserved.
Yeah.
And look, again, you don't win the press conference for me. Nobody does. There's no such thing.
No winners, no losers.
This will all play out on the football field next fall. That's what it's going to be. But the messaging was good. The messaging was competent. The messaging about accountability. He clearly knows that that was an issue. The talk about ripping the playbook down to the studs and rebuilding it with Caleb in mind. It's what we all begged for. It's the biggest thing that killed Shane Waldron. It was his Achilles heel. No, we're not going to rip the playbook apart in mind of the quarterback. We're going to give him an entire playbook that he can't handle. Thank God that Ben Johnson said, we are tearing this thing down to the studs. Rip every page out of it and rebuild it from scratch. That's what you have to do with a young quarterback. And I think the most important thing for me, he mentioned many times he's lockstep with Ryan Poles.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
It wasn't I or me. It was we. It wasn't that's up to Ryan. You have to talk to him. It was we. We are going to be locked at the hip. We will develop a plan of attack for the offensive line. We will look for an offensive line coach. It's the two of them. Now, you can say the stuff he said and feed the fans their pound of flesh about this was a sleeping giant and the roster's loaded with talent. I'm a football coach. That's what's important. All of that stuff is great. That's coaching cliches. I'm not going to sit here and polish my knob about it. Like, I that's what I expect. But a lot of what he said, modern football is about the success of the quarterback.
Yes.
Look at the analytics. You hired the right guy. You did.
Mm-hmm.
Whether he has success or not will have nothing to do with an intro press conference on January 22nd, 2025. But you have a young, forward-thinking mind. You are going the direction that the rest of the league is going. And they're going to do it right with the quarterback first.
I think that was the thing that stuck out to me, too. And even him, to a degree, calling out Caleb Williams. It was an up-and-down rookie year. I think a lot of guys would have come into this job and said, you know what, like, hey, Caleb had a great foundational first year. It was a great, successful first. No, he goes in there and says he had an up-and-down rookie year. And I think that is telling guys how it is. And between that and also saying, listen, this is not going to look like what it did in Detroit. To me, like, he is building this thing in his own image. Sure, he has the influence of Dan Campbell, but you can that's not Dan Campbell that was up there.
No.
Far from it.
No.
This is a different guy. He's going to build this thing in his own image. I'm excited to see what it looks like. So.
Yeah, and I think the important thing to the way he's going to build it is what he talked about. This is going to be predicated on the players. It's going to be built for our personnel. Mm-hmm. And it's going to be multiple. Look. You can think what he wants about the throwback football. We're going to make the same things look different and different things look the same. That's what people talk about when they bring up the film on the Lions offense. It's not specific plays. It's not the trick plays. It's the sequencing where they will fire totally different plays out of identical looks.
Mm-hmm.
Or they will fire identical plays out of different looks. That's how you put pressure on a defense. It's play sequencing.
Yep.
And he's been the best in the league at it over a 3-year period.
The art of being unpredictable.
Exactly. The art of making something look a certain way so the defense expects a certain play and then giving them something completely different. It's his specialty. It's not the trick plays. And if he's going to build this in a way where it's quarterback first and foremost, and we're going to figure out everything else, but it's going to be multiple and it's going to look different and we're going to hit you with looks that you're not expecting. That's what I wanted to hear. I wanted to hear an offensive head coach who's going to call plays. I wanted to hear a head coach that's lockstep with his general manager in acquiring personnel. Mm-hmm. I wanted to hear that these two are working together and have a shared vision. And I got all of that. Now go win.
Yep, that's the next step now. I think that this is the first time we've really looked at this franchise over the last 20-something years where it's like, all right, this is a guy who's in tune with the next step of what this league is becoming. Offensive-minded, quarterback-driven, and being self-aware of all of that. And I think the analytic part is what's next, and that's what we're going to see on the field, is how it looks different that way. And the roster construction is going to be interesting to me this offseason. But these are the next steps now for this team. I like what I heard, but frankly, it means nothing to me right now. It doesn't mean anything. You can say, oh, there's going to be penalties for repeat offenders. All right, let's see what happens if Tyreek Stevenson goes ballistic on the sidelines again.
Yep.
Let's see what happens then. Because I'll believe everything when I see it. And I think that's where a lot of Bears fans are who maybe aren't as all in on this, is they're in wait and see mode. I will not believe it until I see you discipline somebody for a blunder that they have during the week when they are a repeat offender, when they do boneheaded things on the field. How are you holding them accountable? That's the next step.
Breaking news. Tyler Rocky believes Ben Johnson lost the press conference. Believe it when you see it.
He is 0-1 in his Bears tenure.
I'm not going to do the whole routine that like people fall victim to. Oh, my God. He was so good in the press conference. Yeah. We got the guy. We're going to find out. But I heard things that I wanted to hear. And the word I keep going back to is modern. For a town that still talks about the wing tee, you have a head coach who embraces what 2025 football is.
Listen, that team was 40 years ago now. Like, just let that sit. That team was 40 years ago now. You were 10 years away from being born. I was 13. Like, this is a step in the right direction. It's forward thinking.
It's the first time in my life that I feel like they are approaching this from a level of, we're going to spend a lot of money, which is modern NFL, and we're going to get a guy who is on the cutting edge, who is analytical, who will use analytics. Mm-hmm. He's going to go nuts on fourth down. Bears fans, you better buckle up. If you don't like the fourth down calls, you're not going to have fun with this guy.
Yeah, you know that text that Caleb sent Torrey Taylor? I guarantee you Ben Johnson sending him the same thing. Listen, pal, you're not punting very much.
I can promise if he had been the head coach last year, he wouldn't have drafted a punter in the fourth round.
Not a chance.
It just wouldn't have happened. We're going to get your phone calls. A lot of people want to talk their reaction to Ben Johnson's introductory press conference. We'll get to it next. Shane Orling, Tyler Rocky, in for Greeny.
Welcome back to Tyler Rocky and Shane Orling. We're back on ESPN Chicago.
Shane Orling, Tyler Rocky, in for Greeny. Carmen and Yurko coming up. A little under 10 minutes. They'll have Ben Johnson on their show at 12:30, as well as Ryan Poles at 1:15. Tyler, straight to the phones, if that's cool with you.
Go
ahead.
Your
reaction to the Ben Johnson introductory press conference. We're going to start with Joe on the south side. Joe, what's going on?
Hey, guys, what's going on? So the last about 40 hours has just been pure ecstasy. We got our guy, so excited. And you mentioned... earlier you mentioned boner pill. So I was listening to the press conference and then I heard the two words that there is not a pill in the world that can help me recover from when he said he wants to be like John Shoup. I grew up in the 90s watching those Bears defenses just destroy people and John Shoup's offenses doing nothing for us. Please tell me that he didn't say that and that I was mistakenly heard that and just please tell me it's going to be all right, because if this is the case, I'm done. This is crazy.
I don't think
Joe, I got bad news for you, my friend.
He did say that.
I know.
I will say this. Listen, John Shoup was his quarterbacks coach at UNC. I think when you've and his offensive coordinator at UNC, like when you work that closely with someone, they're obviously going to be an influence on you. And it seems like he was one of the reasons why Ben Johnson wanted to get into coaching. He seemed to be like one of the guys that kind of pushed him towards that. So I would say John Shoup's maybe the reason he's a coach. I wouldn't say maybe it's the influence that he has on how he's going to operate his offense.
But he also just broke it down as make things look the same and then run different plays out of the same looks.
He and already said it. This isn't going to be Detroit. Detroit was the best offense in football last year.
The funniest thing to me is Joe on the South Side apparently is like, we got our guy. I'm really excited for Ben Johnson. You just watched the Lions be a top five offense for three consecutive years and the number one offense this year. And then he invokes the name of John Shoup at a press conference and you're like, no! Don't overreact to things at press conferences. You can't win them. You can't lose them. Everything we need to know, we'll find out next fall when they hit the football field. And then it just comes down to win games. Develop the quarterback, get the personnel right, and win games. But because this dude said John Shoup's name at a presser.
There's a scarred Bears fan right there.
Right. It's like that has to be the least of your concerns. The most important thing about it to me, he said they're going to be multiple. He said they're going to build it around the quarterback, and they're going to start from scratch. That's what you should do. I'm taking the positive out of it.
Yep. Finally forward-thinking football.
And again, he didn't win the presser for me. There's no such thing, but come on. You can't lose it either. Don't panic because he invoked somebody's name.
Yeah.
You could go up on a podium and say, I plan on coaching like Don Shula. It doesn't mean anything. You have to actually go win the games. Mark in Newcastle, England. What's going on, Mark?
Hi, guys. I'm 65 years old. I grew up in Chicago in Oak Park. And for most of my life, I've seen bad Bears football. And what's exciting is that we have what seems to be a very intelligent, progressive, inventive head coach and a very talented quarterback that needs to be developed. And I think the future looks good. But like you say, Shay, you can be impressed by the press conference. But you have to see it on the field, in the practices, and I like how he said he's going to make the players accountable for their actions. And I was thinking of the Washington game. So thanks for your coverage. It's very good.
Thanks, Mark.
He's got the most hybrid British Chicago accent I've ever heard.
It's one thing to say you're going to hold people accountable. It's another thing to actually do it and to have it work.
Mm-hmm.
Because Mike McDaniel talked about, I can fine players until I'm blue in the face, but it doesn't change the behavior. Like, it has to be impactful. And we'll see. I'm withholding judgment. I think he said the right things. I think Mark's on the right page. He is forward-thinking. He is progressive. He is modern. He is going to use analytics. We already knew all that.
Yeah.
The press conference only confirms what we already knew.
Yeah. And don't turtle from what you showed me you were in Detroit. Like, listen, if you start to see a conservative approach on fourth down, then this isn't what I thought we were getting when we hired Ben Johnson here.
Are you surprised by the lockstep with Ryan Poles stuff? I mean, I figured it would be that way
that,
when he wanted alignment.
Yeah, what's he going to say? No, I am going to raise a coup against Ryan Poles. Like,
it doesn't change how I feel.
It's like, why I don't buy into press conferences for better or for worse ever.
Exactly. And the reality is what the reality is. Ryan Poles is on the hot seat. Ben Johnson's not. If year one is not a success, then Ben Johnson will get a second general manager. And Poles will be out of here. It just, that's how it is to me. Whether they're in lockstep and alignment or not, if it doesn't work, I think Ryan Poles is gone before Ben Johnson is.
For sure.
Carmen Yurko, we're going to crosstalk with him coming up next on ESPN Chicago. Shane Orling, Tyler Rocky, in for Greeny.